Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder how good you are at identifying trees. I've brought three from the vicarage garden, and I must admit I had to confirm two from the tree identification chart, and in fact found out something about the third tree. From left to right we have a cherry plum, a silver birch and an oak. The oak was the one I was able to recognise immediately, although it is a sessile oak apparently. If anyone disagrees with my identification, please... Quercus roba. Oh, John's giving me the Latin. Quercus roba. Which one's that, John? The sessile oak. Thank you. How did these trees get there? I mean, the cherry was probably just a seed from a tree nearby. That's, you know, you think of all those thousands of cherry seeds that fall to the ground, and one, the conditions have just been right for it to take hold. The silver birch, possibly brought in by the wind, and the Quercus roba, a squirrel's probably planted the acorn for us somewhere in the garden. Trees are clearly robust, but if you give them a helping hand, then they really will fulfil their potential. You think of young trees that are planted, need protection from the winds. They will flourish if the conditions are right. The parables today are parables of growth. And I'm just looking really at those first four verses. This mysterious parable about the seed growing in secret. Literally planted in the middle of these parables, this little section is unique to Mark. A parable of someone scattering the seed. Who is this someone? Because someone scatters the seeds and then sleeps and rises night and day for days and months to come. The seed sprouts and grows, but someone does not know how. Well, clearly God knows how, so I'd suggest a reasonable interpretation could be that this someone is the church. You and me, we are to plant seeds in order for the kingdom of God to grow. If no seeds are scattered or planted, then there is no harvest. This year has seen significant milestones for Mary, Hill and I. 20 years, 15 for Hill and 10 for myself, respectively, in licensed or priestly ministry. On Friday, on my 10th anniversary, I reread the declarations of ordination. And really, at the heart of those declarations, it's about spreading seed and helping others to do the same. Summarised, I believe, in 13 words. With all God's people, I am to tell the story of God's love. And it is the telling of a story that leads to growth, growth of the kingdom and growth in your own faith. The scattering of the seed has to be done through ministry that is relevant, meeting people's needs at a physical and spiritual level, bearing witness to a message in a way that they can relate to or understand, not where we are at. A scattering of the seed through word and deed. But this parable, of course, this four-verse parable isn't just about scattering seed. The seed has to reach its full potential. And for that to happen, the earth needs attention. In fact, in order for the kingdom to grow, the seed to flourish, it is the earth, it is the soil that needs constant attention. We must nurture the earth and give every chance for scattered seeds to take hold, to be given the right protection, to be fed and watered. St. Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but only God who gives the growth. If it is God who gives the growth, it is we, the someone, who Jesus asks to plant and nurture. It is we, the someone, who scatter the seed and water the soil, and we sleep and rise night and day. And in sleeping and rising night and day, it suggests a balanced lifestyle. Not being constantly at work, but finding time for sleep and rest and renewal. And with that comes patience too. It isn't just about preventing the erosion of the soil, but preventing the erosion of our well-being, finding time to rest and to rest in God. And we may be able to control that seed scattering and prepare and maintain the soil, but we cannot control the growth. And we think about how those trees came into being. A lot happens in the dark, in the secrecy of the underground, hidden within the soil. And there's a lot of waiting to be done. And then one day something sprouts and begins to grow. First the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. I wonder what this passage is saying to you and to me. I've reflected a lot on this passage this week, and we have to be honest over what we can offer and what seed we want to scatter. I would love to scatter more seed, and not just scatter, but look after seeds, help them to grow, younger plants, as well as maturing oaks, of course. And we have to be willing to be creative. There's a whole generation growing up who do not understand who Jesus is. They may know facts about him through what they're taught at school, but they do not understand who Jesus is. I have to be honest too, this is not a criticism, simply a fact. In older congregations, the length and breadth of this country, which includes us of course, the long-term health of the Church of England, it cannot carry on this way. For the parish priest to be truly effective as a missional priest, we need people, lay people, in positions of responsibility. We are so fortunate here to have a good team of ministers, but we are obviously in need of church wardens, safeguarding officers, more sides people. These roles are vital to support the ministry of the church. It helps the parish priest and the ministry team and the wider congregation to share the story of God's love and for others to join in. I have a longing to scatter and plant seeds, nurture the ground, to see mighty oaks, cherry trees, silver birch grow. Up at the end of the vicarage garden, we put some wooden boards in about 3 years ago. It is a big garden, and we've kind of just ignored that little allotment in the last year. It's been completely taken over with weeds, save for one verbena shooting up through the middle of them. Be because it's been left. I don't want the weeds of secularism to take over. And I'm sure you don't too. But there's words of encouragement too. Mark my words, friends. We come to the last sentence in that opening paragraph. The consummation of all things. And whilst the parable is not clear on this, it is God who will determine the final harvest. No matter what the state of the world around us is like, the harvest will come in God's time and no one else's. 2 weeks ago at Finn's baptism, I spoke very openly, I had to, in the context of some of my wider family being present. They needed to know part of my story, why I'm here, an encounter with Jesus. And the fact that Jesus lives and calls still surely tells us that he's calling us all continually to serve him in the world, and that there really is a purpose to what we're doing here. God cares about the work that he's done in his church. Amen.